join me in prayer as we open up God's Word now. Heavenly Father, as we take this time now to reflect upon Your Word, may it be Your Word that penetrates to our hearts, that strengthens our faith and our commitment to You. As we look at the Scriptures in regards to the birth of Your Son, that we would see that it is the most precious gift of all, and it is a gift that we can pass along, that we have that opportunity and privilege to share the gospel with others, to hear that message of a Savior being born in a manger and die, and growing and dying for us, that we would have eternal life and a relationship with You. So we ask for Your blessing upon this time of reading and hearing Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. And so this is Christmas. We have decorated the halls. We have been out there ringing our silver bells. And with temperatures in the high 40s and the low 50s, all we can do is dream of a white Christmas. We're not going, much to my son's dismay, not much snow this year, but we're fortunate for that. Today the world takes time out now to reflect upon this special day. The entire world, or a good portion of it, sets this day aside to recognize that something special has occurred. To us, Christmas is something that we celebrate in a personal way because we see that in that little town of Bethlehem, that our Lord and Savior Jesus, the promised Messiah, has come and has been born. Knowing that He was born then, at that time, in the fullness of time that God had determined. Now, it may not have been the December 25th, but it is the day that we set aside in our calendar to recognize that very special occasion. And as we realize that this child has been born, we can take this opportunity to look into the manger, to see this child whom God had promised to us from so long ago. He had promised to send a Savior, and here in this manger lies a child, our Savior. And He would come so that He would save His people from their sins. And we will continue that story in a moment. There is a majority of the world, though, that is out there celebrating this very day, thinking and realizing that it is something special, that it is a day that they take time out of work and doing what they usually do to do something special. They've been out there shopping, decorating, doing everything they need to do in order to celebrate this happy holiday. They never see within the manger the Anointed One, the true light of the world that had come. No, rather they see the superficial lights, the flashing lights on the tree, decorations in yards and places like that, so that they can celebrate this holiday. And for them, that is enough, unfortunately. They have become like old Israel had been. Israel had the Word of God. They had everything that they needed to see, that they were going to be the recipients of a Savior, that they were going to have this promised Messiah. Yet, as the prophet Isaiah speaks of, and in chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, he writes, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who walk in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nations, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice with when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult, the cloak rolled in blood will be burned fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore." No, a lot of people out there in the world, they do walk in darkness, as this prophet Isaiah had spoke of so long ago. They are walking about in a darkness where they can't see where they're going. They're stumbling about as they go along because they cannot see the light of the way. Israel had the writings of Torah. They had the writings of the prophets. They had the very words of God. They could have seen that they were given this very special position in the world to receive all these blessings from God, and that through them the Messiah for the rest of the world would come. But instead, they failed to see the very plan of redemption that God had planned out and laid out before them. Rather, they would rather stay within their own ability, try to work that salvation, gain that redemption on their own terms. Rather than being subservient and listening to God, they were going to do it on their own efforts, and not seeing the very words of the promise of redemption through a child. This child would be a son given to them. You think they might ask, who would this child be? Now, who would give this child a son for so great a cause? Who could possibly do this? In our world today, most of us are rushing around, shopping, going here and there, doing everything we need to do to prepare for this big holiday, and never seeing the plan of God's redemption for His people. Christmas, or that happy holiday, which most people prefer, has something to do with a child. Now, after all, isn't it this child that lies within nativity scenes throughout our land that most people are trying to get rid of? That they'd rather not see a nativity scene with this child in it, in the courtyards or schoolhouses or anywhere in the public domain? This is the child they're trying to get rid of. This is the one. If they only would take the time to look into that manger, to see that child. But no, darkness still envelops them. Psalm 82 verse 5 says, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. In John's Gospel, he explains the light which is to come into the world that will shatter this darkness. And as he writes about the birth of this child, this son who will be given, we can look at it in John's Gospel, if you would open up John's Gospel, chapter 1. It's pretty much what we read this morning for our responsive reading. We will look at John's Gospel, chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 5, 9 through 14. John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was not through. World was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see here in the first five verses how John is trying to put into perspective here the Old Testament scriptures, in that the people would recognize that this child who had come was not only from God, but was God incarnate as well. Here in the Greek language, that word which is John uses for word is logos, which means speech, a word uttered by a living voice, which embodies a concept or an idea. This child will be God Himself. Within each and every page of our Old Testament, the scriptures that Israel had, God was telling His covenant people what He was going to do in His plans to redeem them, to restore them back into fellowship with Himself. And it was because of their sins that separated them from God, but that by this child, He would restore that relationship. He would build that bridge upon which they could regain favor with God. He continually told them of their sins and their need for a Savior. How the Savior would come from God. God gave His word, His very promise that this would happen. And here on that first morning it does. The Word was in the beginning. After all, the Word was God. And that Word created all. The Word was with God, and by God, everything came into being. And it would be by this way, the way of this child, that their relationship with God would be restored. All things have been brought into existence by Him. Yes, the Word was used to speak all things into existence. Ex nihilo is the Latin, the fancy way of saying it. That out of nothing, God is able to speak by using His Word to create everything that's around Him. The Logos, the Word, in the Old Testament, was the one that brought about the light to dispel the darkness. The light that was turned on so that people could see their way. People of the Old Testament studied the Scriptures. They looked at the Scriptures continually to try and understand them. But they had that darkness. They had a veil over their eyes that prevented them from seeing it. They did not see the very promises that God had given to them. That through this Word, through His very promise, He would bring about His Son, who would be the propitiation, the perfect sacrifice, the only perfect sacrifice that could redeem sinful man to a holy God. God told His people through the prophet Isaiah also, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them." And that was written approximately 700 years before Jesus comes along. And we read, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So we have a prophet who says, "You walk in darkness, but a great light will come." That first Christmas morning, that great light came and laid within a manger. If only they could look into that manger and see the light that would brighten up the darkness, that would draw them and show them the way into favor with God. Israel had remained in darkness for a long time, and it had come now to the fullness of time when this child would be sent, that God would send His Word, the light, into the world to redeem them. This does sound a bit familiar, possibly. We could look at this in regards to a creation example. As we read in Genesis 1 through 4, see if these words sound familiar. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." Does that not sound like the first Christmas morning when they walked in darkness and the light came to them? Yes, the language that we see is another example of the creation account. God brings forth out of the darkness a light, and He separates the two, and He makes them distinct. And what we are seeing in the birth of His Son, the Christmas story, is an account of His new creation. It is by the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus that He will put aside the old covenant and establish all things to be new. Paul tells us about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." We no longer have to walk in darkness, groping about, trying to find our way into fellowship with God. bumping into walls, tripping over the law, tripping and falling over the rules that man had made, feeling our way through the avenues of false religions to see what feels good. No longer do we need to be in that darkness. And we can see the light. That light which first came to us in the manger. He came so that he would show us the way. And even though the word came to his people Israel, the Jews who he was promised to, God's covenant people whom he first told this promise to, many of them could not comprehend or understand what God was doing. They just failed to see it. Some people seem to move in the context of the situation that they're in. They seem to like to stay where they're comfortable. People that are in the darkness are comfortable in the darkness to an extent where I'm safe. I know where I stand to some extent. Okay, I might have to feel my way about, but I know that I'm safe here. It is stepping out into the light. It is when we make that dramatic difference in our lives that God draws us out of, that we take that step into the light. It has to be by faith. Faith is crucial in moving from the darkness to the light. We must have a confidence in who is drawing us, and that is God. A confidence that he will securely uphold us, that he will lead us through our walk in this world. God sent into the world his light for this very purpose. He sent his child here. So look into that manger. See that child that was born. For he is the true light that dispels the darkness, that brings about a new life. Because he will lead his people into a new kingdom where the sun never sets. The light is always there. Here in this humble manger, back so long ago in Bethlehem, here lied a baby who had set aside his Shekinah glory, who was seated in the heavenly places through eternity, but he set his glory aside so that he could come in the form of an infant into that manger. This is the gospel message. The sinner who walks in darkness will not find his way into eternal life. But God has sent his Son in the form of this baby to show us how to walk that path into his kingdom. And even though he came into the world did not know him. The gift of God that had been promised has now been presented for salvation. It is time now to unwrap that gift, to look inside and see who it is. And it is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Even today, we need to unwrap that gift, to see the beauty that lies within it, to see that there is grace, that there is love, and that it all came in this very small package on that Christmas morning. Because when we unwrap it, we do see the very face of God. We see his grace and his love and his gift of salvation for his people. So this morning, we have left our gifts and our presents under the tree, the papers to the side. We have all the material gifts that were given. That is, unless you were naughty and you got coal in your stocking this morning. But most of us put our gifts aside, and we continue to celebrate this day. But that gift that lies within the manger is the one we need to unwrap each and every day. And we can by opening up his word and reading it and seeing what he has to say to us. And we see that Jesus Christ was within each and every page of our Bibles. And that we can get to know and be with this gift more and more. On that first Christmas morning, God gave his very best, the very best present that he could give. He gave forth his Son. And that's what we need to do, is to keep that child with us each and every day. The word the light of the world has come. The Prince of Peace, our Lord, our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus is here. This present which God knew that we needed, He gave to us. And then we must look upon it with appreciation and thanksgiving. Because as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but nor of the will of man, but of God. When by faith we receive this gift, the gift of salvation, by looking into the manger and seeing God's Son, it is by faith that we become children of God as well. By faith we can receive that second birth, that we can enter into His kingdom, our sins can be atoned for, and we can have fellowship with God. That second birth, that miraculous birth that we can partake in, is one that God has planned for us here at this time. Like it says in verse 4, in Him, that is Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Therefore, if you have seen the light which has come into the world, you know who Jesus is. If that light, because that light has brought forth eternal life. Remember, you are, as Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And if He gives light to all who are in the house, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I believe what Jesus is teaching here is that, and this comes from Matthew chapter 5, that the prophet Isaiah, when he said that they walked in darkness, who were unable to see God's salvation set before them, that is, until the light of the world came in, that is Jesus' birth, came into the world, and that from the manger to the cross, the light of life shines upon the people of that land, of that dark land. They who knew Him not tripped over the darkness, and that they tried to extinguish that light. They tried to extinguish that light the day of Calvary upon a cross. And they thought they had snuffed out, put out that light. But 3 days later, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that light brightly came forth, shining forever. The light, Jesus, the Word, became flesh here in the manger, and all that believe in His name have the right to be children of God. So the Word remains flesh and dwells upon this land even today. Because when we take in His Word into our hearts, there is that mixture of Word and flesh. And that we have the opportunity to be the light of the world, to shine that gospel onto others as well. So that the gift of God's Son can continually be passed on and on forever. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for this day, the opportunity to be able to reflect upon the most precious gift, Your Son, that He came into this world to dispel the darkness, that by Your grace, we have that opportunity to look upon His face, to shine His light to others, and to share the good news. Lord, we thank You, we praise You, we give You all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.